Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the H&J Daily. You'll notice there's no Paul Hawksby. I'm Max. I hope that's okay with everyone.
I've only just noticed.
I was that on it today. I had a lovely time, Andy.
Yes.
You're a great pleasure to work with and a fine man.
Marvellous. Not true, but thank you very much for saying it anyway. And yes, we had a bit of fun. We had a chat. Lawrence Dellaglio popped in.
He did, yeah.
A bit of a chat about rugby, but also some other things. He was on good form.
He was on good form, wasn't he?
And we spoke to a footballer who's become a mortgage advisor. He's still a footballer, but he's doing it in his part-time.
Yeah. Is that it? Is that all we're doing?
That's it.
All right,
well,
that's enough.
Up with a new mortgage, so it's good for you.
Absolutely right. We discovered that Andy is mortgage free. What, look at that. He can just wander the streets of London with gay abandon, throwing money at anyone he sees. Oh, to have that freedom, to not be shackled down. Anyway.
Good afternoon. Everybody, good afternoon, Andy.
Well, good afternoon, Anissa, Paul, but good afternoon, Max.
I've definitely been called worse.
Exactly. Well, I start with the fact that Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp, we're going to talk about this book later, but in a new book, he said that he's improved his English by listening to Talk Sport. And he said, I saw different dialects, Scottish for sure, he said, half an hour on the way into training. Yeah. So when he arrived at the training ground, did he sort of go, Manen?
Do you think he'll get in early? So half of it will be Brazil.
He'll be listening to us on the way home, because that's why Jurgen walks around going, what's the point?
Exactly.
I'm very cynical.
Yeah. Do you think he's switched off by four? Or do you think he has a bit of the Goffey? Because we haven't heard him drop his H's yet. It's not Jordan Henderson, is it? Not yet,
no. It's a good thought. Anyway, to last night's game, yes. And a fine win for Chelsea, I thought. Of course, I completely missed the best game of the night.
I was going to say, when you say to yesterday's football, no one else is beginning with Chelsea,
I know.
Are they?
It's quite... The thing was, I checked... I love the goal show.
Yeah, me too.
So I switched over and I thought... I saw Liverpool well in charge of that game, so I didn't even think about it. Then when I turned back at the end to catch all the goals, I couldn't believe it was such an exciting game. But I have to obviously watch my team, and I thought they did pretty well. Although they keep giving away goals from set plays. I think that's the seventh or eighth this season. And Frank Lampard's got this theory that if you touch tight, you know, man for man marking, you're going to give away penalties.
Right. So the key is to not mark anyone at all.
Yes.
So it's zonal, but in the other way, isn't it? Be as far away. Who's your man? And make sure there's a 5-yard
force field
between them.
I worked it out last night that if you're going to give the opposition a free header from 2 yards out, like Firmino and the guy last night, you might as well commit a penalty. You might as well concede a penalty. At least Kepa might save it.
It's a very good point.
You know, it's a point, isn't it? I'm just thinking. I mean, he knows. I must say, I've been impressed with the way he handles the players. I mean, he was asked about Ross Barkley publicly, and he sort of backed him. And then, of course, what he did was left him out completely last night to send him a message. And that is the way to manage people, I think, at football level. Publicly, you support them, but privately, you let
kill them. That's what Andy's like in the office.
I am.
As well. How was Reece James? How did he play?
Oh, very well. Yeah, he's terrific. He's really
good. Prospect,
isn't
he?
Yeah, he's a very good prospect. And Hudson-Odoi really affected the game when he came on. And one point though, Martin Keown, Zuma and Tomori became Zamora. I thought that was pretty good.
is that what would happen? If they they clone morphed. The two, they would make the next Bobby Zamora.
It's good.
Why not? Willian's volley was good, but one that bounces into the ground before it hits the net. It's not that it shouldn't count, but it just takes the edge off a perfect volley.
I don't think he did that. He didn't try it.
No, I don't think he did.
It was nice technique, though. And I think they deserved it. But the next couple of games against Ajax are going to be difficult. They really, we'll talk about Ajax with our Dutch correspondent later. They certainly made a very good start.
Yes. And Dusan Tadic is a different order of players.
Different gravy.
He's a different gravy, Brian. That's what he is, let me tell you. The idea that when a player leaves the Premier League, you sort of decide, well, that they can't be any good at football anymore. I mean, Serge Gnabry is obviously an example of the fact that you are capable of still playing, even if you leave these wonderful shores, right? And Tadic is another player, isn't he, where he was quite good at Southampton, but I never really thought of him as a hero of football. And suddenly, he's playing superbly. I think he set up one of the goals brilliantly last night. Who are you texting, Andy?
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to... Sorry, Matt, I was listening, but I'm just trying to get a notice on my phone about a charity game.
Oh, I see.
That's coming up on the weekend.
It's show-related. You weren't just...
No.
Not in the middle of my Dusan Tadic comparison. You didn't zone out.
This is Neil Humphries. I mean, I do get a lot of requests like this, and it's not always possible to do it, but Neil Humphries has contacted me and said they're doing fundraising for a young boy called Tony Hutchison, whose story is very sad, and they're trying to raise money for his medical treatment. And they're having a charity game on Sunday at Barlow's Park in Tadley in Hampshire. But the thing that attracted me, obviously, in a vanity sort of way, is the teams are going to be called Jacobs United and Hawksby Rovers.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, so
there you go. So if
it?
You want to see a game between Jacobs United and Hawksby Rovers.
Are you playing?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Well, because I'm a bit old and I'm not very good. That would be two reasons. But
you could play,
I only play once a year.
As long as you have, one... What sport is it? Football is this?
Yeah, football.
Okay, well, as long as you put you next to a centre-back who could cover you, a sort of Des Walker type, then all listeners to this show will know how much knowledge you have of the game. So you could do a great job there.
Anyway, it didn't say what time it was, I don't think. Anyway, it's Sunday in Hampshire, as I say, at Tadley. So the home of Barlow's Park, which is the home of Tadley FC, I believe. So there you go.
Okay, well, look, we are going to talk about the AZ Alkmaar pitch and how bad it is. Yeah. And we asked what is the worst pitch you've ever played on. Dan says, playing an under-14 game on a pitch that had such a slant, the ball would not remain still for kickoff, goal kicks or corners without creating a divot first.
The old Barnet or Yeovil.
We'll take more of them, 8.29 on the text. Clint in Cambridge says, when I was at Colney Heath Junior School in the 60s, the pitch was at the bottom of a large sloping field, and on a bad day you could push the ball below the surface on the centre spot. Isn't that tremendous?
It is. Listening to that match and David Brady and playing in Kobe, there's a piece by Johnny Fordham in his column about a meal that the English players went out to try. Mm-hmm. And it was basically intestines in this particular... It was a Kobe restaurant specialising in intestines. And they said, Mauro Itoje asked, do you have anything else? And the bloke said, no, just intestines. It reminds me of, I was in Kyoto. Right. I was staying in a... Do you know those... what are they called?
Presumably there are two sizes of intestine you can get. You can either get a small or a large, I presume.
Anyway, we're staying in this place that's where you sleep on the floor and it's all tatami mats and traditional... I can't remember the name. I have to look it up. People are screaming the name of the radio, know anything about Japan. But anyway, and they serve you this ceremonial meal.
Right.
And it was basically like the Bush Tucker trial.
Okay.
Which is what it sounds. Of course, my wife ate all of it and mine because I didn't want to, didn't want to insult them by leaving it.
So you passed every testicle to Mrs. Jacobs.
Yes, I did. You'll pardon the expression.
Oh, that is true love, isn't it?
It certainly is. And she gratefully received them, as they say. I think we'll move on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on Talk Sport. Alistair in Hartford, and he's been in touch to say we used to play at Watton Prison near Nottingham, and all the inmates were allowed to watch, but they stood all the way along the touchline, and if the ball went off, they wouldn't move out of the way. They had a few words to say, so he had to run to the corner flag each time to retrieve the ball, even if it went...
Oh, for goodness sake, to avoid the line of convicts.
Even if it went over the halfway line.
What about the warden? Didn't they say anything? Oh, I suppose it's difficult. All right.
Who knows? So, yeah, worst pitches you've ever played on, please. On the this is AZ Alkmaar's pitch, the Astro that Manchester United are playing on. Later, commentary on TalkSport 2, 5 to 6. That's an interesting story. Coventry City striker Matt Godden is training to become a mortgage advisor as well as playing for the Sky Blues. Let's talk to him now. Matt, how are you doing?
How you doing, boys? How you doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Were you finding football too boring, so you wanted some excitement in your life?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that, because it's took some hard work to be where I've got to today. So yeah, it's been a few hours put in after training, but I'm fully qualified now, so it gives me something to fall back on once football's done.
Yeah, it's a very, very good idea, isn't it? And I think the PFA are keen on this, aren't they? Especially at a sort of a lower level below the Premier League, you know, where it's important, isn't it, to have a trade or something that you could fall back on.
Yeah, I think it's massive. I've always have said it's massive. And when people ask me what they think that the PFA can do more, I don't think the PFA can do much more. The PFA are brilliant with the lower league sides and the support's there from them if the boys want it.
Matt, we have this image, right, of footballers, which is they go to training and then they just go home and play FIFA all day. Are you an exception to the rule, or are there lots of your teammates doing various things that we just have no idea about?
No, yeah. I try and say to the boys that it's obviously so important to what we do after training. Obviously, it's all well and good going back and getting your rest in and playing the PlayStation or whatever you do in your social life, which is fine. I'm guilty of that myself. I don't mind playing the PlayStation with the boys, but I think you've got to balance that with looking at the bigger picture as well. And there's a lot of boys that can be quite naive to the fact that touch wood, nothing happens to anyone that I've played with or I'm playing with. But it only takes one bad tackle for you to be out of a job the next day or the next week, and then you're in the big. The big world, if you know what I mean. So,
and players at League One and League Two level will definitely have mortgages, so I presume that actually it's a reasonable market for you. I mean, you obviously can want to appeal to other people, but presumably you're also sort of advising footballers as well.
Yeah, that's the main reason why I've done it. I looked into what I can do. Obviously, I want to try and stay in football if I can, but not down the coaching route. That's never been something that has appealed to me as such, but I want to stay in football in some aspects, and going down this sort of route and helping and advising footballers on their mortgages. And then I've just been speaking to one of the lads actually today, and within a couple of years I'll probably take some more exams to become a fully qualified financial advisor, and then like all the pensions and the boring stuff, I'll be able to advise on that as well.
Do you think part of it is just looking at your career? You spent quite a lot of time in non-league. You started at Scunthorpe, but then went into non-league for a few years. Did that influence your decision partly as well?
I think so, yeah, because I got a lot more time. I was fortunate at Ebbsfleet at the time. They were a club that they'd just gone kind of full-time. We was three mornings a week, so it enabled the lads that were transferring over to the part-time game to still be able to work. But I actually was doing a bit of jobs for a film director at the time, and because I was trying to do something that I just needed something, and I had nothing. I had no background. I'd gone straight into football from school at Scunthorpe, and I had nothing to fall back on. So someone gave me the opportunity within the family to work in a funeral director's, and I had to take it. And obviously, I didn't want that situation again once I finished full time.
How's this season going for you? Obviously, so much of Coventry and the what we hear about is where you're playing your football, but you're actually doing pretty well in the league.
Yeah, fourth in the table.
Yeah, the boys are flying. We're doing really well. We're unbeaten, and obviously the club gets a lot of publicity for us playing at St Andrews, but us as players, we're enjoying it. Obviously, the pitch is immaculate, and the way the gaffer and AD want us to play, it suits us massively. We get the ball down and we play some good stuff. And so playing at St Andrews is helping us at the moment.
And Matt, I'm on interest only. Should I stick with that, or should I go to a repayment mortgage?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how much money you boys are earning in that studio, do I?
Max is happy to tell you.
What's your show rate, Andy? it's a great story, Matt, and I think hopefully a lot of your younger teammates listen to you, because you're absolutely right. You know, it can be a very short career, and you don't know exactly where it's going to finish. But you know, I presume you're going to keep playing for as long as you can, and certainly try and get Coventry to the Championship this season.
Yeah, that's it. Obviously, my main aim is football, and always has been. I love it. I don't want to retire for a long while yet, but I've also got to look at the time when the time does come that I've got to hang the boots up in hopefully a long while yet. But at least I've got something to fall back on.
Thanks for your time, Matt. Appreciate it.
Lovely. Cheers, boys.
Matt Godden there, Coventry City striker and a fully qualified mortgage advisor.
Very good.
Are you mortgage-free, Andy? Or have you,
I am, actually, yes.
Well, look at you. It's all right for some, isn't it? So I need 20 years here. Here's Jason in Slough, who said, we turned up for a game in Slough only to find out that the nets had been stolen. Our sponsor, who was also our centre-back, had a brainwave to get some tarpaulin from his van. So he had blue nets that did the job, apart from when the wind picked up, the pegs would fly out of the ground and miss the keeper by inches. Sure enough, for the rest of the game, I was playing sweeper keeper, well away from flying metal pegs.
What about this other one, though, from Steve in Aberdeen? I think it's rather good. It's not football, but he says...
Where's that one?
He said, I played a junior county match on a golf course in Perth and hit an approach shot to a bunker. In the bunker was a burnt-out car. Couldn't find anything in the R&A rule book to cover this.
Is it free drop?
Free drop.
Free drop from the burnt-out Fiesta. This is Hawksby and Jacobs on Talk Sport in partnership with Green King. For atmosphere you can't get at home, head to your local Green King to watch the biggest Premier League season yet, your home of pub sport. We'll talk to Lawrence Dallaglio next.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport. Max Rushton in for Paul today. Very pleased to say, joining us in the studio, England's legend Lawrence Dallaglio is here. Lawrence, nice to see you. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good afternoon. Or konnichiwa, as I better get used to saying.
Oh, absolutely.
You're on your way to Japan.
I'm heading out for the quarterfinals, semis and final, which is... very, very exciting, and let's hope that England are there to join me.
And do you think they will be?
Well, I think we find out about England in this World Cup. You know, there was a magnificent couple of games over the last weekend, wasn't there? Japan beating Ireland, and Wales performing heroically, particularly in the, well, both halves against Australia. And England have sort of just done what they've had to do in this tournament so far. They've beaten Tonga, they've beaten the USA, but the competition starts to really ramp up. And I saw the Argentinian captain said, we're going to bring war on England. So he was trying to obviously stir things up, saying that we play boring rugby. So, well, we'll find out.
But do we play boring? Do we play boring rugby?
Well, so far we play winning rugby, don't we? And I think that's the key. And I think what we know is that the World Cup now for England starts to pick up intensity and levels, and England will have to produce, you know, not quite their best, but something close to it to see off Argentina. Then they go to they play France, and then so I think we'll know a lot more about, you know, England's chances after this game this Saturday.
We were talking about, you know, the England football squad's just been announced and how difficult it is to play a certain type of football against sort of minnows when you're qualifying, and then to play someone good. Is it the same, you know, for these players now? They've had a few easy games. How difficult is it to turn up? And it'd be much more difficult.
I think it's a mindset. What you have to realise when you're a top-tier team and you're England is everyone saves their best game for you. So regardless of what you say about Tonga, they played their best against England, and the USA put their best against England. And when you see what's happened to, say, Ireland against Japan and even Ireland today against Russia, France yesterday playing the USA, it kind of puts England's early performances into perspective. They've done quite well. They've got maximum points, 10 out of 10, no injuries. But now we'll start to see, I would like to see England step up another level, and I'm sure they will.
One thing you will find when you go there is a rugby boom in Japan. Apparently they've gone absolutely mad for the sport. Very interesting piece from Owen Slot saying, but can they capitalise on it? Because we had the same thing after the Olympics here. You know, people, everybody thought people would take up dressage and things like that, but they didn't.
Well, speak for yourself.
Well, you know. I arrived on a horseback.
you know. Was sashaying back and forth in the studio, weren't you?
You know what? I went to see the show jumping in Greenwich Village. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable gold medal. But I think the key is, yes, it is going bananas in Japan. I mean, you know, that they've hosted this World Cup in the most spectacular way, as we knew that they would, almost in a sort of polite way. You know, you want them to push more of the Japanese culture forward because they've been brilliant and their team have really come to the party. I mean, they could conceivably make the quarterfinals. And I think the key to what the answer in your question is, well, how easy is it to signpost people post-World Cup to go and join a rugby club in Japan? I can't answer that question, but you'd like to think that they'll capitalise on that.
Yeah, they're talking about having it in schools and things like that, which they don't have at the moment.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, what I would say for rugby is that the entry level is quite complex. You know, if you want to coach 15-a-side rugby in Japan or even in this country, it's pretty tough. You know, you've got to be qualified. There's a lot of technicalities. There's a lot of laws. So, you know, what we need is a sort of 2020 version of rugby, which is innovation. And I genuinely believe that there is only 15s and there is sevens, which brings us neatly onto this thing called Rugby X, which we're launching Tuesday, the 29th of October, which is the week of the World Cup final. And that is five-a-side rugby played by the best international sevens teams in the world. It's going to be played at the O2 during half term on a half-size pitch. And for me, it's full contact,
really?
But but conceivably, when you watch it, you want to see the best sevens players going at it. You know, the Barbarians, the USA, England, Fiji, whoever it might be. But equally, when you pair that back to a school, you can conceivably see five-a-side rugby taking off in a touch format for boys and girls all around the country. Because I think it's a really important moment for rugby. Every sport has to innovate, has to change. If you'd have told me, guys, you know, 15, 20 years ago that T20 cricket would be bigger than Test cricket and we'd be launching a 100-ball game, you know, looks like a good pyjama party. They got their kits. I hope they like them. They look fantastic. So, I mean, if you'd have told me the short format was going to be bigger than Test cricket, we'd have probably all laughed. So, you know, I genuinely believe this five-a-side rugby format is going to kick off, you know, this year with Rugby X at the O2. And who knows, it could be, for young kids coming into the game, a really good entry because, you know, when you watch rugby, sometimes you think, whoa, is that for me?
Yeah. What's going on in there is my first thought.
Or I don't really understand that. Yeah. Whereas actually, if you're playing a game like Rugby X, which is five-a-side, there's only really a few laws, no line-outs, no kicking, tries here and there. It's fantastic. It's going to be a very simplified condensed version of the game. And I call it rock and roll rugby because it's going to be indoors at the O2. There'll be a load of music, a load of entertainment in between. You know, it's kind of where entertainment meets rugby. And I think it's great for the kids. And it's all happening on one day. So
You know, will the old suits be sort of disappointing? You know, there is this constant balance for all these sports, aren't there? Yeah. You know, cricket as well. You know, the MCC sort of versus 2020. You know, are there?
Well, if you look at the average age of people that watch rugby, yeah, it's over 55, and the game is not sustainable because you know those people are not going to continue to watch it or live. So, so what we need to do is attract the younger audience, and I think Rugby X is about doing that. It's about, you know, making it cool, a bit more rock and roll, a bit more easy to understand. And if I'm a coach at a school, I can get 10 of you together. I haven't got a rugby pitch, but I've got a small sort of tennis court-sized grass space, and we can play Rugby X.
It is interesting, though. I got contacted by a listener who's involved with Cambridge Rugby Club, and she organises days for people to come try rugby. And this is for girls. And she said, we've already got 50 people turning up to training every week.
Yep.
I said, you know, look, I had kids that played rugby, and I was always a bit worried. And she said, no, we sort of stress the emphasis on avoiding contact, and it's more about handling. And so it's very interesting. So there's definitely a lot of interest in rugby from young people.
Yeah, there is. And listen, the values, and the rugby's not 100% perfect, we know that, but the values of the sport in terms of respect, teamwork, you know, shaking each other's hand. I mean, I run a charity called Rugby Works. We work with pupil referral units all around the country. We're in 27 of them in London. I work with kids who have never played rugby in their life. We go in there with a rugby ball, they go, what's that? And then we've got a small tennis court size pitch, and we play five-a-side rugby, and they love it, and
they
really, really enjoy it.
I've got some of the laws in here. So kicking is allowed up to a maximum height of 10 metres to be monitored by sportable ball tracking technology.
It's a bit like five-a-side, isn't it?
There's a little tracker in the ball, and if you kick it above 10 metres, it goes, you know.
That's good. What's the name of the South African number four? Because, I mean, that would be head height for him. He is about 10 metres tall, isn't he? And drawn matches settled by a one-on-one.
Yeah, fantastic. So, I mean, if you remember jousting in the good old days.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
back to your horse.
Ivanhoe, yeah. Lancelot, yeah. All that. So, 1v1, one attacker v one defender, lights off, put the light on the attacker, light on the defender, in that 30-metre space, and one's got to beat the other through great footwork, great speed, whatever it might be. And that's settled, a bit like a rugby's version of a penalty shootout. But
so it's quite a skill for the person with the spotlight as
well. Absolutely, yeah, especially if they're tracking one of those Fijian guys running around. But it's, you know, you could get absolutely rinsed one-on-one by a guy with incredible footwork, or equally, you could see one player, you know, tackle another. I think it's fantastic.
So hang on. So it's the game is drawn, right?
Yeah. So six tries each.
Okay, and I'm playing you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So you're attacking. I'm defending.
My left knee is dodgy, by the way. So I've got to try and run past you. You tackle me, obviously.
You probably wouldn't tell me that.
Okay. And then you get the ball and run at me?
No. If you don't score, we win. So I don't know whether they flip a coin.
Okay.
They flip a coin, and
you can choose
heads.
To
so you say,
attack
right,
or defend.
You call heads. You go, right, I'll defend or I'll attack. But it's very exciting. I mean, it just brings that extra level of excitement. You know, we've seen a super over. We've seen extra time. A 1v1, I mean, it's quite interesting because when we were training for the Rugby World Cup in 2003, at the end of a training session, which lasted about 2.5 hours or whatever it was, we would have a 5-minute session of 1v1.
Wow.
And we'd all stand around the pitch, and the defence coach would be barking orders, Phil Larder. And it's one of those things, you really don't want to get beaten by one of your mates in front of all the rest of your mates, because it's a bit embarrassing, really. So.
Yeah.
I think that adds another level of excitement to Rugby X. So, you know, listen, if you can't get out to Japan, and I appreciate people won't be able to, week of the World Cup final, 29th of October, it's also half term. Get down to the O2, rugbyx.com.
Doesn't really sound fun. Sorry, I was just going to say, a 10-minute game, this is well thought out. Is there going to be TV coverage?
Because I think it's on ITV4. So the Rugby World Cup's being covered on ITV exclusively, and ITV4 have taken the coverage of Rugby X. And we've got the best short version players in the world playing. So the best 15-a-side players are over in Japan. And these are the top 7s teams from all over the world. Men's and women's are going to be playing in London the week of the Rugby World Cup final.
That sounds great. Lawrence, thanks so much for coming
in.
You're off to do the rugby podcast with the Times right now.
Yeah, looking forward to speaking to Owen Slot, Stephen Jones. They're over there with England. Obviously, the latest on England's team, picked a really strong side. Good to see Mako Vunipola, Jack Noll back on the bench, Henry Slade back on the bench. So I think England have gone full bore for the war against Argentina.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport. Max Rushton and Andy Jacobs. He's just working the room. He's just come back in after just getting close and personal with management. Tell him how wonderful the show's been. And now in the news and sport break, Andy and I both happened to go to the bathroom at the same time.
The gents.
We did go to the gents. Yeah, it was the right choice.
They're still not gender neutral here.
No, they're not. As I was washing my hands, I looked to my left, and Andy had some tweezers, and he was pulling out some hair from his ears.
An extraneous one, I think.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I commented on it because I'm now of an age where I'd need to trim my nose hair, and my wife likes to sort of pull her hair out of my ear sometimes when it's getting too long. But bringing tweezers to work is the next step. And you were saying it's because the mirrors here are so great.
The thing is, the mirrors in the lift and in the toilet are so beautifully lit that things show up that they don't at home. I don't know what it is with my mirrors at home, but I look at the mirror and it looks, oh, nothing. I look fine. Yeah, great. I get here, I look like sort of, you know, King Kong or something.
Do you think you're clean shaven at home when you come and you've got a full beard?
Yeah. I thought, well, I got fed up with looking at myself in the mirror as I was washing my hands and thinking, oh, well, I can see one there. That's not good. Or one's coming out. You know what it's like. We all get stuff with that. Mm-hmm. And then go home and I couldn't see it. So I thought, I know what I'll do.
Right.
I'll bring my tweezers in, which is fine if I'm in the loo and nobody comes in.
But not in the lift.
It's fine in the lift. But the thing is, if it stops and somebody gets in, you are in trouble. Lift B doesn't have a mirror. Which is a bit of a problem.
But you cannot. It's like cutting your toenails or fingernails carriage. You can't pull out your body hair in the lift. We share this with some reputable institutions. What will the editor of the Times think when he walks out and you're plucking a nasal? Is it just the ear hair or is it nose hair as well?
Just the ear.
Just the ear hair. Yeah, okay, so sorry to anyone who's been in the lift.
Anyone who's had lunch.
Right, so what have you got, Andy?
What have I got? Mm. It's the birthday today of two people I've met once.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever done that? I met Lena Headey, who went on to great fame in Game of Thrones.
Right.
A friend of mine was friendly with her, and he said, oh, I know this young girl. Do you want to ever come and have a coffee? That was about, got to be like 30 years ago.
Sounds incredibly sinister to me.
It does, really. Yes. Yeah. Hashtag me too. Not really. And then Zainab Badawi, the former... I think she's still a BBC newsreader.
Okay.
I met her at a party once.
Excellent.
So I thought, that's a coincidence. Two people I've only met once. Happy birthday to both of them. They're probably delighted they never met me again.
The way you sold that story.
It's a bit of a tenuous connection.
It is. This is in the Eye paper today. Scientists are working to breed sheep.
Is it
sheep.
A paper? I thought it was only a...
Not your birthday thing. I didn't find it in the Eye paper.
Yeah.
No, you can get it in paper form.
Right.
Scientists are working to breed sheep, which produce fewer greenhouse gas emissions in order to reduce their impact on the environment. Hmm. The grass to gas.
Sorry, nearly.
I do apologise. I wanted to get on tomorrow's show, and that was the only way it was going to happen.
That's a disaster. Go on, move on quick. Anyone notice.
The idea is they're breeding sheep that fart less. Ooh. I thought I would bring... That was the whole point of the...
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that could work for many people as well.
It would work for cows as well, really.
Cows are the big problem. I heard that if we all stopped eating beef, with apologies to beef farmers, then climate change would be totally solved.
Would it?
Apparently. That could be absolute nonsense.
I like a bit of steak. Now, it's the 50th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper's album. Son did a very... Not Sgt. Pepper. Abbey Road. I know you'll see why I said that. Abbey Road. And the son went along to Abbey Road, the famous level crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Level crossing, zebra crossing. What is wrong with me today?
It's a riskier album shot, isn't it, on a level crossing, isn't it? Ringo's gone. Anyway.
Zebra crossing.
Okay.
I'll get there in the end. No point by the time I get there. But honestly, so they show various people doing this thing, which, of course, tourists love to come to London and do that. But one bloke, what was his name? Michael Chippy K, 72, came down from Huddersfield, dressed in his Sergeant Pepper's outfit. And you think, Well, that's ridiculous, man. It's not even the right album. What's the point? Anyway, he was delighted to be there.
Do you want to learn about Wayne Rooney's planning permission? This is in the Daily Mirror. Ruar. Neighbours fear Wayne plans to be a farmer at his
new home. Unlikely, I'd say.
Wayne Rooney is facing tough opposition over plans to build a huge shed for a tractor and hay bales at his new £20 million mansion.
Really?
Yeah. He wants to... neighbours have objected to the scale of the development. The local parish council said it was concerned about the 20-foot-tall shed's impact on the Greenbelt land near Knutsford in Cheshire. The application was withdrawn, but has been resubmitted in February.
Oh,
interesting there. The main house has an orangery, a bar, a snooker room, cinema, wine cellar, indoor swimming pool. Not enough, though, for Wayne Rooney, who wants a shed that he can put his tractor in.
Oh, well, we'll see how that develops.
Tractor to Derby camp. It's risky talking about, you know, Derby players driving, isn't it? But having a tractor.
Not in tractors.
Slightly slower, don't you?
The thing is, some people like driving. You know, Wayne might like the idea of driving a tractor. He may not necessarily want to be a farmer. He might just like a tractor for getting around the property.
That's true. I mean, I drove a tank once.
Did you?
Me and Barry's show was sponsored by the Army for a bit. It was a slightly odd, curious tie-in.
Neil Warnock's got a tractor, the producer tells me very alertly. Thank you.
They put me in a tank, and then they were filming it, and you know, it was a sort of sponsorship deal, so I had to be enthusiastic.
You'll do anything for the sponsorship.
But I didn't need to. Remember, I had to fire the... but this was the problem, was I got out of the tank.
It wasn't Gaviscon, was it?
It wasn't. No, let me tell you, Sue's in under 2 minutes and lasts for up to 4 hours. But...
Was that a tank show?
I got out of a tank,
yes.
Actually, it was very uncomfortable, and it was really cumbersome to drive. It was it wasn't very interesting at all. Might think you drive a tank and be exciting, but it was really quite tedious. So when I got out of the tank and they were filming me going, how excited were you? I was not excited at all. I'm a terrible actor. So not really.
Did you sort of let off any shells?
I did let off a shell. Not in the sort of a gaseous sheep version. I did. And it was...
Good stitch back.
Just bringing it back to sheep. That's the idea of this radio station.
Back to sport.
Isn't it? I did, and I didn't enjoy it. It's too easy to fire a tank gun.
I tell you what is interesting, though. The social media and how rumours can swell. Christian Eriksen has been forced to deny rumours that are going around.
Yep.
I won't repeat them. They're fairly ludicrous. But it's social media for you. I can't tell you the number of people saying, well, what about that? Christian Eriksen, blah, blah, blah. Even I went to the butcher's to buy some sausages yesterday. The butcher, first thing he says to me, oh, what about that Christian Eriksen? And I went, it's absolutely not true. It's just social media. I mean, anybody can do that. I can go on and do some terrible rumour about Max Rushton, and people might believe it.
They might, but they wouldn't be remotely interested. That's the only difference, isn't it?
Very true.
When you go into your local butcher's, does he come up with the top sporting news of the day? Is that relationship have with your butcher?
Yes, I mean, they know who I am.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean,
do you always get the same? Do you just say the usual and you get the same?
Well,
do you mix up your meat purchases?
Well, I do. And one of the butchers there is a Chelsea fan, which is great.
Okay.
So he always looks after me. And
hello to Terry's Butchers in southwest London. Mark says, hi, Max. You've made the common mistake thinking that emissions from sheep and cows...
Is that your butchers? Terry's.
Emissions from
sheep... That's who you were driving the tank for.
This is
Terry's Butchers head on the side.
This is important.
Yeah.
I have made the common mistake thinking that emissions from sheep and cows are... farts. They're in fact from the mouth in the form of belches.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there we are.
Well, what about giving them Gaviscon?
It's a very good idea.
That could solve the problem.
You seen Jason Donovan has put out a fire in his underpants? You have seen this story.
Oh, it's a wonderful story. And he's a terrific bloke, Jason Donovan. Mm. The second really good thing he's done this year.
But the first Joseph, and now this.
No, he was somebody, basically a woman sprawled on the pavement and he sat and waited with her. I think she fainted.
Oh, what a great guy.
And he waited for the paramedics. He's a really decent bloke. But I love the fire brigade spokesman because he was helping the people next door.
Mm-hmm.
And the fire brigade spokesman said, everybody needs good neighbours.
Oh, that is
brilliant.
Would you run into someone's house in your underpants with a fire extinguisher?
Yes,
Andy?
I think I would. Okay. I mean, I think if the people next...
Only if the house is on fire.
I live in a flat, I'd have to do something about it, wouldn't I?
Don't do it unless the house is on fire. Otherwise, you may get in trouble.
Imagine, I thought it was a fire.
It's not your strange fetish, is it?
No, really.
Oh, it's Andy again.
With a fire extinguisher.
Fire extinguisher.
That could work.
listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.